Let's turn tonight, please, in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, to the book of Galatians, the New Testament, and to Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, and reading together, please, from verse number 1. Galatians chapter 1, reading together from verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Just before we come to consider this, could we just unite our hearts again in prayer? And again, all the Lord's people praying, seeking the Lord's face. Our text really is verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. With the text in our hearts, let's all unite our hearts in prayer, and let's all seek the face of God, please. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again, Lord, as we come to this juncture in another gospel meeting, Lord, we cry to thee to remember us upon the throne. We thank thee at thy right hand, Father, as our blessed Lord Jesus, the lover of our soul, the one who died to take our sins away, the one who bore our sins in his own body to the tree, and as this text says, to deliver us from this present evil world. Father, how we thank thee for thy Son, how we thank thee for Jesus Christ the righteous. To us who believe, he is precious. And O God, we come to thee, and we pray, Lord, that you'll now remember us. Remember us here in this meeting. Close us in with God. Purge the atmosphere in holy blood. Let the blood prevail. O God, put your hand in this meeting. There are dear people in this service and they need Christ. O God, draw near. Answer prayer. Pour out the Spirit. I confess again before heaven's eternal throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. And drive the powers of darkness far from this place. And glorify your Son. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The churches in Galatia were not just in a city. They weren't just in a city, but they were in a province or in a country. Paul wrote this epistle to these churches. Now, where he wrote from, it's not totally agreed by commentators. Some feel it may have been written from Antioch. Some feel he may have written it from his prison cell in Rome as he was imprisoned there for the sake of the gospel. And others feel it was maybe written at the end of his third missionary journey. But though the place where it was written from is not clear and we can't be certain, we are sure who wrote it. We are sure who the penman to this churches, the churches in Galatia, was. Verse 1 tells us. Look at verse 1 with me there of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul wrote this letter to the churches here in this province of Galatia. Now, it would seem from the scripture narratives that Paul himself was the one instrument under God that was responsible for these churches being in Galatia. I think we can glean that. If you go over to chapter 4 of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse number 13. Because Paul's writing to these believers, and look what he says to them there. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And there we see that Paul was that instrument that brought the gospel to these dear people. He brought the gospel to them. It was probably on his second missionary journey. That's when it's most likely that he took it to them. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Let's just look at all this. Acts chapter 16. Here's Paul on a second missionary journey. Look with me at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia. So they went through these regions. They went through Phrygia, they went through Galatia. Now go to chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 23. Acts 18, verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia. There it is. And Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. The thought is that when Paul got to Galatia here in Acts chapter 18, it's his third missionary journey. Acts 16 is his second. So the thought is, he preached to them on a second missionary journey. God moved in power. The Holy Ghost was poured out. And now in Acts chapter 18, he's here again on the third journey to strengthen the disciples. That's the thought. But tonight, though this epistle was written to believers, I want to speak to the unbeliever in this meeting. I want to take Galatians chapter 1, going back there, and verse number 4. And I want to speak, as God gives help, to those in this meeting who at this moment in time are not saved, don't have Christ. And I want to speak to you from verse number 4. And it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. I want to speak tonight on a message that I have entitled, The Greatest Deliverance in the History of the World. The Greatest Deliverance in the History of the World. The first thing I want to show you is this, the need for this deliverance. The need for this deliverance. Look where we begin at verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I want you to understand, dear people, tonight, that the need of this deliverance that I have said is the greatest deliverance that this world ever had, the need for it was sin. That was what caused the need. That is where Paul begins, and that is where we begin. When Paul's dealing with this subject, he begins with sin. You see, we are immediately not talking about a physical deliverance. We are talking about a spiritual deliverance. Now, one of the best definitions of sin in the Bible is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Just listen to what I'll tell you what it says. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. I have said this many, many times in preaching. We live in a world where mankind in general have absolutely no idea what sin is. No idea. But sin, by divine interpretation, is what I have just read you from 1 John 3. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now that word transgression, it comes from the Latin word transgredion. It signifies to go beyond one's bounds. You see, the moral law of God, summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments, that's what I'm talking about. The Ten Commandments, the moral law, keeps us within the bounds of duty. But sin takes men beyond those bounds. That's what sin does. Sin breaks that holy law.
Sin breaks over those bounds that God has set, and it takes men into disobedience. What do I mean by that? Well, the Ten Commandments, let's look at a couple of them. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There's the bound. What do men do? They lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's the bound. That's the boundary. What do sinners do? They commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. There's the bound. What do men do? They kill. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There's the boundary. What do men do? They take his name in vain. They go over the boundary. They go over and they break that moral law, and they go over the bounds that God has set, and they sin against God. As one of the old Puritans writers said, sin's essence is from hell. Understand that. That's where it came from. Sin is of the devil. Satan was the first to commit sin. Satan then was the first to tempt man to sin. You see, before the fall of man, before sin entered this world in Genesis chapter 3, remember what we're thinking about tonight, a spiritual deliverance. Man was not a slave. Man walked with God. The Bible says Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, communed with God, walked with God. Before the fall, man was not a slave to sin, but after the fall, after sin entered this world, man became a slave to sin, a slave to Satan. Understand that. Let me just tell you this, everybody in this meeting, saved or unsaved alike, Satan hates you. He hates you. If you're a Christian, he hates you because you're living for Christ, you're seeking to walk with God. If you're not a Christian, he hates you because God created you and he wants to damn you. He hates you. Satan hates you. Satan's desire is this: to guide and maneuver you every moment of your life, and to guide and maneuver you, dear unsaved friend in this meeting, right into the mouth of hell. How will he maneuver you? How will he guide you there? How will he seek to get you there? He uses your sinful nature. He uses your lusts. He uses your desires. Oh, dear unsaved friend in this meeting, understand, when you give yourself over to sin, you obey Satan and you disobey God. That's what you do. You obey Satan and you disobey God. Now, I understand, proud man doesn't really like that statement, but that's what the Bible teaches. We are not talking, as I have said, of a physical deliverance. We are going deeper. And Paul here, writing to the Galatians, these people that were saved out of paganism, he's not talking about the day Christ delivered them physically. He's talking of a spiritual deliverance, and we're going to see, because they were delivered right from the power of Satan. Right from the power of Satan. Go with me over to the next epistle, Ephesians. Maybe some of you have been in Ephesus. Maybe some of you go on holiday to Turkey. And maybe you've been to Ephesus. You can go to it. You can go and see it. You can go and see the ruins, actually, of this church. The church in Ephesus. It's all there. But look what Paul said to those Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you, remember who he's talking to? Christians. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So there we were before we got saved. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. And Paul is telling those believers, do you see what you were saved from? You were saved from being led along by Satan. You see, when a man rejects Christ or a woman rejects Christ, you obey the devil. When a man puts off his day of salvation, he obeys the devil. Now, I grant you're not going to really thank me for putting it like that, but that's the way it is. It is most certainly not God that is telling you to put off your day of salvation, because God says now's the day of salvation. Remember, you are being maneuvered. You are being led into the mouth of hell. That's where the devil's seeking to maneuver you to. That's where he's seeking to get you to. You see, sin is strong by Satan's power. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Here's the commission of the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of the cross. He's actually testifying here. He's actually telling of what happened the day the Lord saved him, and he saved this man and he changed him, and now Paul's a preacher. But look what he says. Verse 17 of Acts 26. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, the Lord speaking to Paul here, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Dear people, do you see that? The deliverance from Satan, from his power, and the forgiveness of sins go together. Man, woman, in this meeting out of Christ, we thank God you are here, but you need to see something. Right now, out of Christ, the devil is maneuvering you. He's moving you step by step, step by step, closer to the mouth of hell. That's what the devil is doing here. And you need to see that. Step by step. Dear friend, you're on a march. That's what you're on. You're on a march. The leader of that march is Satan. He holds you on that march by your sin, by your lusts, by your heart's desire. That's how he holds you. But I want you to understand something. In love to your soul, if you never experience this spiritual deliverance, that march is going to terminate in the mouth of hell. Forget about the preacher tonight. He's only somebody that was delivered from this march. Dear people, when that book is open, God is addressing you. We're not talking here about a physical deliverance. We're talking about your need to be spiritually delivered from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, from this maneuvering that he is doing to you. Because there's only one place it's going to end up. Hell. That's where it's ending. Because of a transgression of God's law. You see, as I've said, that's the greatest definition there is of sin. Transgression of God's law. The law of God. The moral law of God. And you need to be delivered, dear friend, from your disobeying of that law. You're breaking those boundaries, your spiritual consequences that are going to come. Do you understand that? When you sin, it is a transgression of God's law. It's a transgression of God's law. A law which resembles God's character. A law that was given man for bounds. And sin is a breaking of those bounds. Because sin, let me tell you, first and foremost, is against God. Now listen to me. The law is spiritual. When a man goes to prison in our land or in our nation, say he stole, or whatever he did, or he killed, And he comes out of prison and he does his time and he says, well, there's my slate clean. And what he's saying is, I have paid my debt to society. Dear people, his slate is not clean. Because though he may have paid his debt to society, it was God that said, thou shalt not steal. It was God that said, thou shalt not kill. And he will stand before God for it. His slate is far from clean. Oh, by the law of a land, he may have a clean slate. It's not clean in the courts of heaven. Because before he wronged who he stole off, or before he wronged who he killed, he wronged God. Because God said, thou shalt not steal. And God said, thou shalt not kill. And though they walk out with that thinking of a clean slate, dear people, the slate is not clean. It's not clean. Because they have a debt to pay to God's law. A debt that will be required at death if they die out of Christ, and a debt that will never be paid forever. Understand that. Understand. The debt has to be paid. And you need to be delivered. We are talking tonight about a spiritual deliverance. The need for this deliverance, as Paul says to these people, it's our sins. Let's go back to Galatians 1. Who gave himself for our sins. The Lord just says it as it is. You see, dear unsaved in this meeting, sin's a very personal matter. It's a devil-inspired matter. We've already seen that. But it's a personal matter because the Holy Ghost of God, the third person of the eternal Godhead, leads the Apostle Paul here just to remind these believers, Christ gave himself for your sins. And dear men and women in this meeting, you need to be delivered from your sins. It's a spiritual deliverance we're looking at here. See what Paul's saying? The Holy Ghost draws attention to the fact that they're your sins, you committed them. Oh, understand that. The Lord is reminding believers here. Christ delivered you from your sins. We sang that great hymn in opening this meeting, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. John Newton wrote it. He was an English man. He was a notorious sinner. But God saved John Newton. And John Newton never, ever, ever wanted to forget where God brought him from. He never wanted to forget it. And you know what he did? He took the text of Deuteronomy 15, verse 15, and it says this, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee, or delivered thee. You know what he did? That he would never forget where God brought him from. That he would never forget the sins that God had delivered him from. He got that text of Scripture. He got it and carved onto a piece of wood. And he put it upon the desk in his study. That as he went to preach, as he would leave that study, having met with God there to go and meet with his congregation, he would remember that he too had been delivered from his sins. A great spiritual deliverance. He needed it. This preacher needed it. And you need it. Dear unsaved in this meeting, you need it. People don't like being reminded about their sins. God reminds us. God reminds his people over and over again in the Scriptures. You read through all those epistles, all addressed to Christians, and you will see over and over and over and over and over again that God reminds those believers, look, it was your sin. It was your sin that put Christ on the cross. It was your sin that you need to be delivered from. Because in the Christian life, dear people, there is no room for glorying. No room. We, every one, deserve to go to hell. And may we all remember that. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee, or delivered thee from every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful action. But dear unsaved, I trust you're beginning to see, you need to be delivered. A spiritual deliverance. But you need to be delivered from something else. Look, let's look again at the text. Who gave himself for our sins. There's part of the deliverance. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. What does Paul mean here by present evil world? Well, he's not speaking of the planet Earth. Obviously, he's not speaking of the planet Earth. God is speaking of the behavior of this world, the thinking of this world, the spirit of this world. That is what the Lord is speaking about here. And he's telling these believers they needed to be delivered from that evil thinking, that evil behavior, that evil mindset. Present tense. Let me give you a few examples of this evil world. We all hear these statements. Sure, eat, drink, for tomorrow you die. Evil. That is evil. Because God says, prepare to die. Sure, we can't take it with us. We might as well enjoy it while we've got it. That is evil. That is people living as if there's no God to meet, and as if death is the end, and that's all there is to it. That is evil. That is this present evil world. Or the other statement we hear too, we're blue in the face. Sure, we're a long time dead. That is evil. That is evil thinking. Because God tells us, man or woman, in this meeting, that your death is in the hands of God, under the control of God, will be in the timing of God. And it is not your duty to speculate when you'll die. It is your duty to prepare to die. There's none of us silly here tonight. We all know this is going to happen. If the Lord tarries in his second coming, every one of us are going to die. I might go first. You might go first. You might be at my funeral. I might be at yours. God determines the order of it all. But one thing is for certain, it's going to happen. And dear unsaved in this meeting, you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. You're thinking, and we're seeing here the world's thinking is all under the control of the devil. Oh, understand this. The world's ways have ensnared you. You want them. You're trapped by them. How do you know? Just try and stop them. Just try and stop them and you'll know. Oh, dear people, ask the alcoholic, don't tell them to stop drinking. Do you not think they know they need to stop drinking? But they can't stop drinking. Don't tell the addict to stop taking drugs. Do you not think he knows he needs to stop? And he curses the day he ever started. But he's snared. He's caught. And he needs to be delivered. He needs a spiritual deliverance. Oh, dear unsaved in this meeting, you are being maneuvered. You're being maneuvered and prompted and probed and pushed and nudged every moment of every day just a little nearer to hell. Just a little nearer. and the one that's maneuvering it and alluring you and throwing his temptations before you is the prince of the power of the air. And you need a spiritual deliverance, man or woman. Boy, oh boy, do you need it. You need it. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Let's look at something else here. We've seen the need for this deliverance. What about the deliverer himself? That brings us to our Lord. That brings us to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Who gave himself? Who's in view? Look at verse 3. Let's read it in the setting. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, there's no full stop there, comma. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world? There it is. Who gave himself for our sins? Our blessed Lord. And sinner, there's the one tonight in this meeting we present you with. The one who delivers sinners from their sins. Because you can't deliver yourself. The devil's not going to give you up. And you need one stronger to come and deliver you. Do you understand that? Let me put it as plainly as I can. If Christ never delivers you from your sin, if you never get to Christ, you will leave Ballymena and you will go to hell. Understand that. We're not the first people, as I have said before, we are not the first people ever to walk the streets of Ballymena. We're only another generation walking them. The Cushendall Road Cemetery testifies of that. Others have walked here. Others have lived here. Others have shopped here. Others have worked here. Others have laughed here. Others have wept here. Others have raised their families here. And now it's our generation. We're not the first people to go down these roads. But I'm telling you now, if you never get to Christ, you will leave Ballymena and go to hell. You understand that? What Paul's saying here is this: men out of Christ need to be delivered from this present evil world and their sin that leads them down to the pit. Understand what I'm saying? You're being maneuvered. You're being maneuvered. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. That's what the Bible says. And that's the deception in the whole thing. Because men don't believe that. They think they're in control of their life. They do what they want. They're in control of their destiny. But we're seeing here from Galatians 1 and from Ephesians 2 that the whole thinking of this world, the whole spirit of this world, the whole behavior of this world, it's all under the control of the devil. It's all under his control. You need to be delivered from the consequences of your sin, from the grip of this evil world. And the only one that can do it is Jesus Christ. You know what the word delivered means? It means to be taken up out of. That's what it means. You need to be taken up out of your sin. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We see the word here, Acts chapter 7. Go there, Acts chapter 7, verse 34. If you haven't a Bible, just listen. I'll tell you what it says. Acts chapter 7, 34. The setting is this. God, Stephen's preaching. He's telling of the commission of Moses. He's telling how God called Moses and what God said to Moses when he called him. Now look at Acts 7, verse 34. God says to Moses, I have seen. The affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I've heard their groaning, and come down to deliver them. There's the same word. And I'm come down to deliver them. And now come, I'll send thee into Egypt. What did Moses go down into Egypt to do? To bring them up out. To bring them up out. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Because here's the moment it happened. Here's the very setting. Exodus 2. Again, if you haven't a Bible, just listen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And Moses was sent down into those pits in Egypt, because that's where they were. The pits in Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible is symbolic of the world. That's physically what happened there. Let's just take it spiritually. Man or woman in this meeting out of Christ, Christ is showing you, you are in the pits of this world. Spiritually. In that you're bound in them. In that you're bound by your sin. And you need this great deliverance. But dear people, understand this. The message of the gospel is this. There is a deliverance. Because there is a deliverer. There is a deliverer. And Moses has been sent to bring them up out of Egypt. And Christ came into this world to bring sinners up out of the slavery of their sin. Remember what I told you? Before the fall, there was no slavery. Before sin entered the world, there was no slavery. Dear unsaved, see your condition. You need a deliverer. You need one to bring you up out of that condition you're in, because you're being marched, you're being maneuvered right to hell. That's what you're being maneuvered to. You better believe it. And I tell you this, the bigger the grip the devil gets on a soul, the harder it is to break that grip. Understand that. I saw it one day with my own eyes. I was in a home, and I knew the people in that home. And one of the people in that home told me they weren't well. I've known them for years. And I said, I'll be praying for you. And the minute I said that, this person began nearly to panic. I don't know about that. I said, I'm only saying I'm going to pray for. I don't know about that, she says, Tom. Since I worshipped Satan one time, I don't know about this anymore. And the very thought of me praying sent shudders through her. Dear people, understand this. You have need of a spiritual deliverance. Now, I'm not saying you're that far. But you have need of this spiritual deliverance. Now, what's the process of this deliverance? The process of this deliverance is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be maneuvered to the gates of hell, but have everlasting life. The process, it began in the incarnation. God sent forth his Son. Why? To deliver men who were being maneuvered. It kept going through his life of perfect obedience. Why? Because somebody had to give the obedience. And it culminated at Calvary when Christ died. Why? To deliver you from your sins in this present evil world. Oh, dear people, understand that. This deliverance that you need is spiritual, because the ransom of a soul, the deliverance of a soul, is rescuing that soul from the very powers of darkness. It's rescuing that soul. Look at verse 4 again with me of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. You know that word gave can be translated? Delivered. Who delivered himself for our sins. What did Christ deliver himself up to? He delivered himself to do all that you needed for you to be delivered. He delivered himself under the law. Galatians 4, made of a woman. There's the incarnation. Made under the law. To redeem, to rescue, to deliver them that are under the law. That you might receive the adoption of sons. He delivered himself somewhere else. He put himself under the divine fury of God. Because that's what happened at Calvary. Divine fury was poured upon Christ because Christ bore our guilt. Therefore, Christ had to bear our punishment. That you might be delivered. That you might be ransomed. Oh, dear people, see that. Christ gave himself for this purpose of delivering sinners from the penalty of eternal hell. I tell you, dear people, listen to me. If there never had been a cross, there would be no deliverance. If there never had been a cross, there's no hope. None. But there is a cross. And upon that cross, the Savior died. Do you see, dear friend, what it took to save sinners, to deliver them? Nothing else could do it but the cross of Jesus. What a price was paid. See what I said at the outset? I've entitled this message, The Greatest Deliverance in the History of the World. Everything else fades into insignificance before this deliverance. It's an eternal deliverance. It's a deliverance that goes right into eternity. Let me show you the order of this deliverance. Go back to Galatians 1. Look at verse 3. Grace be to you and peace. Do you see that? See the order? See the order of the words? Grace, then peace. Grace, then peace. Because, dear people, in this meeting, before you ever have peace with God, you'll be reached by the grace of God. Or you never will have peace with God. It's grace, then peace. That's the order of it. Grace, unmerited favor, then peace with God. But let me tell you, dear people, the order of it leads to the scope of it. Because if I already said this deliverance, see, let me put it to you this. In the physical deliverance, say, for example, a man's captured and he's taken captive and people go in and deliver him. Well, there's a chance that man could be recaptured. It's not so when Christ delivers. Christ's deliverance is an eternal deliverance. You can't be recaptured. Because when a man comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and Christ saves that sinner and brings him into union with himself, he tells us in John 10 there, as the good shepherd of the sheep, no man is able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. It's an eternal deliverance held by God. Dear unsaved, do you see that? Before you leave this meeting, you can place your life into the hands of God by repenting of sin, by fleeing to Jesus Christ, by being partaking of this great spiritual deliverance into the hand of God who'll never let you go. Because we're kept by the power of God. If we were not kept by the power of God, if the believers in this meeting, sitting maybe around you, dear unsaved, if the believers in this meeting were not kept by the power of God, they would not still be going on with God. Bible's clear on it. Grace saved us, grace keeps us. It's a perfect salvation. But dear friend, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Him. This eternal deliverance, this deliverance that knows no bounds, there's the scope of it. Finally, as I close, the pleasure of it. Look at verse 4 again. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God the Father. See that? This deliverance of the sinner is according to the will of God the Father. God sent His Son into this world to deliver sinners. You see that? It's the will of God that sinners come to Christ. God is well pleased when sinners come to Christ. It was the will of God that Christ would come and die for sinners. You see, dear people, the atonement of Jesus Christ at the cross, the bloodshedding of Jesus Christ at the cross, first and foremost. Here's the point. I said it's the pleasure in this deliverance. The bloodshedding of Christ, the atoning work of Christ, the death of Christ, first and foremost was Godward. The atonement was heavenward before it was manward. Because before God would ever be at peace with any sinner, He had to be satisfied. He had to be appeased. Divine justice had to be satisfied. And the atoning work of our blessed Lord Jesus was Godward first, then manward. It satisfied the Godhead before it ever saved a sinner. The blood of Christ satisfied divine justice before it ever washed a sinner. But the point is, when Paul said this deliverance is according to the will of God the Father, the point is this, God is satisfied. And now He says to the sinner, come. There's a grounds for this deliverance. There's a grounds upon which I'll receive you. But sinner, you must come to Him. You must come to Him. Because if you never come to Him, remember what I said? You're being maneuvered day and daily through your sin, through your lusts, deeper and deeper into slavery, deeper and deeper into bondage. You're being maneuvered right to the gates of hell. But God is telling you here tonight in this meeting that the deliverance that Christ wrought in the heart of a sinner is according to the will of God the Father. And therefore, dear unsaved in this meeting, you can come with confidence. He'll receive you. He'll save you. He'll save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, because He ever liveth to make intercession. Will you come to Christ tonight? He'll break the chains. He'll break them now. You can trust Him tonight to save you. You can trust Him tonight to forgive all your sins. They're your sins. I have mine, you have yours. Christ forgives sins. The Godhead is satisfied with the work of Christ. Heaven is at rest. Heaven is at peace with all who come to Christ. This eternal deliverance. See what I mean? The greatest deliverance in the history of the world. and it took place at Calvary. When Christ died for our sins to deliver us from going down to the pit. Know what Job wrote in his book? Deliver him from going down to the pit. For I have found a great ransom. Who found it? God found it. God planned it. Through the work of His Son. And up from Calvary comes this great cry that the work was done. And God says to every sinner sitting in this meeting tonight and everyone that will ever hear the gospel preached, deliver them from going down to the pit, for I have found a great ransom. And that ransom, dear believer, was nothing else than the blood of Jesus Christ. But, there is a but. Job wrote something else. Because there is wrath, beware. Lest he take you away with a stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver you. The ransom is the blood of Christ. But sinner in this meeting, and I say this almost fearfully, if you end up in hell, God is telling you here and now that even the cross work and the blood shedding of Jesus Christ is not getting you out of it. Let that truth go deep down into your soul. The cross work of Christ will deliver you. The blood will wash you. But if you die out of Christ, God is telling you that greatest of all ransoms can do nothing for you because you're lost. You're lost. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. We deal here with eternal matters. We deal here with the matters of your never dying, never ending eternal soul. Sinner, don't lose it. Don't lose it. This great deliverance is here. Christ will deliver you right now from the power of sin and Satan and whatever holds you. He'll deliver you now if you come to Him. You have His word for it. According to the will of God the Father. Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Let us pray. And while every head is bowed and all the Lord's people are praying, thank God for a great deliverer. Dear unsaved friend, thank you for coming. It's great to see you in the meeting. Is it not time you were saved? Is it not time to come to Christ? If I can help you, be my joy. Maybe a believer with you, talk to them. Speak to me down at the door, whatever way we can help you, friend. Partake of the greatest deliverance in the history of the world.
God, give you grace to come. Father, take thy word, take all that's been of thee here. Bless it to every heart. Save the lost. Gather the men. Oh God, work. Grant deciding grace. In Jesus' name, amen.